All right, and we'll put that. And we'll put that on our website too, as after we conclude today.
That would be great. And so, just so you know, too, you were asking if you get to Maine Coast after you've called the number. As you're driving up to Maine Coast, the big parking lot to the right, the tent is in the back of that parking lot. You can't really miss it. There are cones and jersey barriers guiding you through, and there are people there. The tents at both at Blue Hill and Maine Coast run from noon to 4 p.m. daily, 7 days a week.
Got it. All right. Okay. This is from a listener in Machias named Alicia. She says, when you watch the national news, it's very upsetting. We're seeing so many new cases in New York. Are we in Down East Maine prepared to care for a lot of sick people all at once?
Yes, this is Mike. I think we're all watching those numbers sort of creep across the map and come into our direction. We still have zero cases in Hancock County and Washington County, but it's coming. I think that we are prepared, and we've been given this blessing of some lead time. I think it's slowed down a lot. We're rural. We're spread out. The wave is not advancing as fast as we had feared. And that's given us some time to prepare. So we have tents up. We have protocols. We are gathering and counting our gear and our personal protective equipment, our PPE. We're working on backup plans. We're working on backup plans for our backup plans. We are reallocating wings in our hospitals. We're making all kinds of changes and getting ready. And we're training our people so that we will be ready to take care of our communities when it gets here.
I think it's also been helpful that we're part of Northern Light, because we're talking with all of our hospitals, all nine hospitals throughout the state of Maine, really on a daily basis, whether it be about the tents or ventilators or medications, equipment, supplies, and saying, okay, what do you have there? Can you share here? What happens if we get the surge? Can we move patients from one hospital to another based on their medical needs? So it's not just each of us, Blue Hill and Maine Coast, really being prepared for any possible scenario. We're also talking with the system at large, which has also been really helpful.
Great. It's 12:52. If you just tuned in, we are speaking with Dr. Michael Murnick, a primary care physician and senior physician executive at Northern Light Blue Hill Hospital, and Dr. Sheena Whitaker, pediatrician and senior physician executive at Northern Light Maine Coast Hospital. We are stopping the music for a while and answering, or trying to answer, as many questions as we have, and there are a lot. And the next one sort of dovetails from what we were just talking about. This is from Sarah in Bar Harbor. On MDI, we're seeing the arrival of people who normally summer here, but are coming to their seasonal homes early. When we see a New York license plate in the parking lot of the grocery store, should we locals be afraid of contracting an illness from these folks from away?
Right. I can see where that could be a concern. But, you know, we can't blame people for wanting to come here earlier. This is a beautiful place to be, and they're probably feeling safer here. I think the same rules would apply for them as it would apply for your neighbors. We don't know who has corona and who doesn't. So somebody could be coming from New York who's never been exposed, and you could have people in Maine who are exposed and are ill with COVID. So I don't think we should be picking out the New York license plates or people who might look like they're from away. I think we should be really careful about that. And we use universal precautions. So anybody who's been exposed to COVID, whether they're coming from New York or whether they visited somebody with COVID in Maine, they should be on a two-week self-quarantine. They should be washing their hands, again, covering their mouth, not touching their face. Really, it would be the same rules we would use for anybody else.
From Willard and Sullivan, he would like to know what your thoughts are on testing and why everyone can't be tested for the virus, and will that be changing in the future?
Yeah, I can answer that one. I think there's a lot of talk about testing and a lot of issues with the testing. We all wish we could have tested a lot more early on. That's good public health when a disease is moving into the region. We do it every fall when we're worried about flu coming in. We do a lot of testing until we figure out it's here, and then we stop testing so much because we start just assuming, well, yeah, flu's here. It looks like flu. It must be flu. We would have liked to have been able to do a lot of tests early so we could identify cases, track them, figure out who their contacts are, have them all really put themselves in quarantine and slow the spread of the disease. Unfortunately, we got caught a little flat-footed, and we don't have lots of supplies of the swabs. We don't have lots of supplies of the chemicals, the reagents you need to do the tests. So we couldn't do that. So we had to ration our testing early on when we would have liked to test a lot. Now, lots of labs are coming on board. Lots of tests have been developed. They're producing them. We're starting to be able to test more. Still not as much as we'd like, but starting to be able to test more, and we're going to have lots available. The problem is it might come online about the time when it doesn't matter as much anymore, except in certain clinical decisions. Sometimes it would be nice to know, but you don't really need to know when it's here. If it looks like COVID and smells like COVID and acts like COVID, it's probably COVID. And most people will be able to stay home and take care of themselves. And we may or may not need a test in that situation.
And I think we should probably talk about that a little bit. So if you do think you might have COVID, you know, how do you take care of yourself at home? It would be pretty much what we would say for other viruses as well. So the big thing is staying hydrated, right? Drinking lots of fluids, things with sugar and salt, like your grandma's chicken noodle soup, Gatorade, any fluids, popsicles, to keep yourself well hydrated. Make sure you're still peeing. That's a good sign that you're hydrated. Tylenol for discomfort. Making sure you're resting plenty, avoiding others. And then if you're starting to have trouble breathing or having a hard time staying hydrated, then you should be calling us so that we can help you with that either at home or say, no, it's time for the ED or the tent. So I think, you know, taking those measures at home and taking care of yourself is really important, and not, you know, and it's big. That's probably all you need. Like Mike was saying, you don't need to know if you have COVID or not. It's just a matter of making sure you take care of yourself and your family members.
All right. Let's see. Terry in Southwest Harbor was asking, and I think we already have this answered. She was asking about where is the best place to get information, and you had mentioned the CDC website, and we do have that link on our website. Donna from Steuben wants to know, what are Maine Coast Hospital and Blue Hill Hospital doing differently in preparation for patients who are ill with the virus? Has any protocol changed inside the hospitals?
Yeah, we've changed a lot in those preparations that we talked about earlier. For one thing, we're screening all staff and patients and delivery people. Anybody that's coming to the hospital, we are stopping them, asking them if they have any symptoms, and checking a temperature before they can come in and go to work or go about their business. We have made significant changes to our visitor policy, which we hated to do. It goes against what we like. We know that keeping families together and visiting is the best medicine in a lot of ways. But when we're trying to isolate this disease and not let it into our walls and not spread it around, we had to make a really hard decision to limit our visitor policies. We have walled off special wings of our hospitals. Both hospitals now have sets of rooms that are isolated from the other rooms where we will put our COVID patients and suspected COVID patients while they're in-house. A number of changes, and Sheena can probably think of some that aren't coming to mind, but we're actually doing familiar things. We know what to do with this. We use PPE all the time. We know how to isolate from particles and aerosols and similar viruses. We are just not used to handling numbers like this. That's what's different this time. So it's overwhelming our supplies and rooms. But we know what to do, and we are preparing to do that. And this, as I say, this lead time's really been a blessing as it slowed down coming across more rural Maine, giving us time to set up.
The only other thing I would add is that we also have any staff that does not need to be on campus or working from home. Again, trying to do our part with social distancing and really working with our staff. We want to be able to keep everyone employed and part of the team. So sometimes there might not be as much work for one person. So we might have them help us out in the tent or help us in other departments. So we're really trying to use our staff pool in imaginative ways. Both to keep them home and decrease the spread, but also to be sure that we're staffed where others need it.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Murnick of Northern Light Blue Hill Hospital and Dr. Sheena Whitaker of Northern Light Maine Coast Memorial Hospital about the coronavirus. It's coming up on 1 o'clock. This is WNSX, Winter Harbor, Bar Harbor in Ellsworth. You mentioned a while ago, Dr. Whitaker, about calling if you think you have symptoms. especially if you have trouble breathing. I wanted to follow up on that a little bit. The next step is, how should you go to the hospital? I volunteer for the fire department. We occasionally are asked to help the ambulance get a patient on board. Do you recommend an ambulance or self-driving or having somebody drive you?
Right. Good question. I think it depends on how ill you're feeling. If you're feeling a little worse, but not too bad, you're coughing and maybe having more chest tightness, wheezing, other symptoms, and you're feeling a little more concerned, I think a phone call first would be good to talk to either an RN or provider. They would probably guide you and say, you know, it sounds like you're well enough to drive in, have somebody drive in if you're nervous with you. I would not necessarily call an ambulance in that instance. If, on the other hand, you really feel like you're in distress, you can't move, you're feeling lethargic, a family member's concerned that you're looking different, your color's different, they're worried, they're concerned for your health, then by all means, call an ambulance. They are also using PPE or personal protective equipment. So when they arrive, they might be using a gown, mask, and eye protection. So I wouldn't let the COVID change what you would normally do. If you feel you can drive yourself and are safe enough, that's okay. If you don't, then call the ambulance. That's also okay to do.
Thanks. Debbie in Hancock asks, the question pertains to children and how parents should talk to our kids about what's going on without scaring them.
Right. So I think the first thing is, you know your children. So some children do better with more facts. Some children do better with less facts. So I think that's the first. Stay calm. You know, they're going to really look at how you're responding to this. So if you can be calm, if you can role model good behavior, like, you know, coughing into your elbow and washing your hands and social distancing. So really what you're doing, being calm and role modeling is going to be huge. I think the other thing is to really see what they're thinking about. They have amazing imaginations, so they might be imagining something that's even worse than we could even think about. And so really reassuring them that, no, not everybody's going to die. You know, hearing what they're worried about and answering those concerns. Then I think it's really about just basically the facts. This is a virus. Some people are going to get sick. Most people will do well. Most people can take care of themselves at home. You can remind them the last time they had a cold and how what you did, you gave them Tylenol and maybe you bought them popsicles or whatever you did. It would be similar for this as well, so it's something concrete that they can relate to. Try not to use words like always cough into your elbow, because the one time they forget to cough in their elbow, they're going to be worried that they might get ill. Or never, try not to use that word, or try to always. You know, just say we cough into our elbow. We cover or we wash our hands, because kids will literally take what we say and expect that to happen all of the time. So I think stay calm, be a good role model, use very simple facts, and then reassure them that we are going to be okay, that things happen, but that most of us are okay, and we'll get through this together. The adults are taking care of it. We're doing all these things so that the adults can make it better and take care of the kids.
All right, a lot of people asking this question, living in Hancock and Washington counties, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think according to the CDC, there are still no confirmed positive cases in Hancock or Washington County. Is that correct?
That's right.
And do you feel this is a result of the area being under-tested, or do you think that there are actually cases in these areas that just haven't been confirmed yet?
Yeah, I think yes, yes, and yes. I think it's still true that there are no cases the way the CDC is counting in Hancock and Washington County. Part of that is because we haven't been able to test as much as we like. I think we would have caught some sort of borderline cases that are probably out there that we didn't get a chance to test. I think that it is probably here. There's some people probably in these counties that have been exposed that are a little sick with the illness or mildly sick with the illness. What we know is that there's nobody really sick and in the hospital from those places with COVID.
That's really important to recognize. So we have been testing our hospitalized patients who meet the criteria, who have fever and cough, and all of those tests have come back negative. So it's not that we have patients in the hospital dying of COVID. That is not happening. We know that for sure. So, you know, we do have sick patients, but they're sick with other things, COPD, CHF, pneumonia, not from COVID, those kind of things. So I agree with Dr. Murnick. There probably is some around here, but it is not a lot of cases nor severe cases that we're seeing at this time.
When the CDC lists a county of origin for the virus, is that where the patient lives or where they were tested? How do you know how that works?
Yeah, you picked up on that, didn't you?
Yeah.
So people may remember that Hancock County used to have one on those lists, and then it moved. It went away, and it went to Penobscot County, and that was for just that reason. It's the wind goes to the county where the person lives instead of the place where they're tested.
I see.
And the other thing to know, too, even though we can't test everybody the way we want, we have done lots of tests, not only hospitalized patients, but there have been thousands of tests done throughout the state of Maine. So it's not that we've only done a few hundred and there are a few hundred ill. We've done thousands of tests that are negative and then the few hundred that are positive.
We've got a question from a listener in Orland, and they ask if we should be afraid of going to the grocery store and shopping, and followed up with, does coronavirus stay on food?
Great question. You don't have to be afraid to go grocery shopping. I think talk about frontline people, the people staffing those groceries are really going above and beyond, cleaning, restocking, and being careful. So shout out to them. Should you be alert? Yes. Should you be careful? Yes. Should you wash your hands? Absolutely. But this gets to the question of, can we get the virus from surfaces? And there's mixed results on this. Again, a new virus, we don't have a lot of information yet, but there's some evidence that it will live on a hard surface like a table or a countertop for hours. Live on softer surfaces for longer, even days. And the range in days can be mostly around 3 days, but some as long as 17 or 19 days in some studies. So it's a little nervous making. So is there a virus on the outside of that package of bread or that box of cereal or something else? Maybe, but probably not. So be careful. It can live on surfaces for days, but if you're careful, wash your hands, take good care of your food. Everyone's got to eat. That's why it's a necessary service, and that's why they're still serving.